It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Real talk, right now. What's your favorite alcoholic beverage?
If you love being in a girl group,
this is totally for you.
Some people call us overwhelming.
Yeah. Love it or leave it, we don't care. No, but we want you here.
Yeah. Welcome to You Can Sip With Us.
Hey, girlfriend. Welcome back home.
Hi, I'm Ashley. That's what I was waiting for. That's why there was
I'm Colleen.
Delay.
Okay, fine.
Because I feel like you always go first, like, and say your name first, you know, but.
Yeah, I'm just super excited to see you knowing the proximity that you're very, very close to me.
Yeah. So,
like
guys, I am in Oregon. We relocated. So, I'm in Oregon, which also comes with a little caveat, asterisk, something that if my sound quality is not great over the next, you know, several weeks. We're on the road for 6 weeks. We're a month here and then 2 weeks in Dallas. So I don't have my usual setup. So just bear with us. You know, I'm like sitting on a bed in our, one of our guest rooms holding my microphone, which I don't always hold it. And so like, you know, whatever, just hang with us and, we'll just bring really good content. So if the sound quality sucks, then the content makes up for it. Anyway,
Speaking of hanging. Oh yeah. Okay, fine. Okay, it's hot in Portland. It's muggy, and I felt super dehydrated when I woke up this morning. And they say when you feel dehydrated, it's too late. So I'm in the water game, but I did the like electrolyte water, basically.
What kind of electrolyte? Like smart water, or like you put electrolytes in it?
Liquid IV, the huge. I just needed some deeper hydration. What are you sipping on?
I just popped open a can of the LaCroix Tangerine. Yeah, you spilled all over. You are a sloppy girl.
I just spilled liquid IV down
your cleave. Great. So this Tangerine LaCroix is actually quite delicious. We picked it up at Costco yesterday. I don't think I've ever had it, but it tastes just like those tiny little oranges, like a tangerine. It absolutely does. It's like a liquid version of it. Absolutely. It is the most spot on LaCroix flavor I've had.
I don't believe it.
Well, I'll bring you one and you'll get a taste
for myself.
Yes. And you, you know what? Next time I'll bring you one next time we record and you'll drink it live on the air and we will get to the bottom of this. Cause I don't know if my taste buds, you know, your sense of smell is much more heightened when you're pregnant. I don't know if,
yeah.
And like, aren't smell and taste linked? So maybe there's something going on with my taste buds that makes it more intense. I'm not sure. But we will see. I think you're going to be floored.
Because I am perma disappointed with sparkling water flavors.
This is fresh to death. Yeah, fresh to death. So I'm very excited.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, I believe you. I just am used to being disappointed.
I know. Well,
you
usually
know?
They're like
not by
muted.
You, but by sparkling water.
I get it. Yeah. So, okay.
I feel like you need to give me the download because the last couple of days has been crazy busy. You guys have been relocating here.
Yes.
There's been a lot going on. This is part of our, I have a hangover. I just want you, like, you know, our hangover segment. I need you to give me the update on your life right now.
Yeah. So we flew from Phoenix to Oregon, all four of us, myself, husband, kid, and then Roka got to fly in the plane with us. So all four of us. And John has really bad anxiety, so he got a prescription for Roka to be his emotional support animal. So that's how she was able to fly in cabin. The other great thing about Oregon is weed is legal here. And he doesn't like high THC, but he gets CBD with a little THC in it, and that really helps his anxiety, which you can't get any THC in Arizona. So he just walked over to this green store last night, you know, and that's good because he does get crazy anxiety. So
I didn't know that about him.
I didn't either, because he's very on the surface, like very calm,
yeah,
very even keeled, and he has really, really bad anxiety. And I didn't learn this until a year ago. Like when we started going through our hard time, it came out and he talked about like how bad his anxiety is. And I had no idea. And most people wouldn't, I don't think. So yeah, it's very interesting. But
yeah.
Okay, so we flew here and that was kind of a nightmare. I mean, Roka did pretty good. She gets anxiety too in new spaces and stuff, but she did pretty good. We gave her basically a dog Xanax, and then Revy was a total mess. We brought her high chair, or what's it called? Car seat. And we strapped that into the plane. It did not, we thought maybe then she'd feel comfortable and fall asleep. No way. It was right during nap time, like she naps between 1 and 3 generally, and our flight was at 2. We were an hour delayed or 45 minutes delayed, so we didn't take off till almost 3. And so that was like her napping window, and she did not sleep. So she was just overtired and just over it. And this is the only time she's ever cried on a flight, and she cried a lot on the flight. And then we got to our place, and you know, you just never know what you're walking into when you rent a place. And there's no air conditioning, and it was hot AF. So I was like worried. I mean, on Rev's monitor, it was like probably 85 to 90 degrees in our house, in this place that we are renting when we got here. And we hung blackout blinds up in Rev's room, so we couldn't have the window open, so there was no airflow. And I was watching the monitor, and all night it was like 84, 85 degrees for her. And I was just like, so I don't know. I was all nervous about it. So we went and got an air conditioner thing, a window unit air conditioner. And that's better. So if you hear that fan noise in the background, that's what that is. Yeah, you just don't know what you're walking into. And then, you know, it's just, it sounds really great to do this relocation thing. Like, oh, it's fun. We can work from anywhere. I don't know if we'll do this again, though, because it's really difficult with kids. And then we have no routine, no space. Rev is bored out of her mind. Every morning she wakes up, she's like, well, what do I do here? There's nothing. None of my toys. So we bought her some stuff yesterday. I don't know. It's just been kind of a rough transition. It's only, this is day 2. So we will see how it goes. Right. I just feel like we need to buy a place. And I don't know when that's going to be, but I'd like to buy a place so then we know what we're walking into. We know what kind of, what's there, what the space is like, and maybe rent that out, turn that into an Airbnb or something. Because otherwise this just feels really stressful, and it's a lot with kids. Like, it's just, and it's really hard on them. Rev kept waking up. Last night she slept great, but the first night she kept waking up and she would wake up screaming. And I think it was just, and she doesn't do that, but I think it was because she was so disoriented. You know, she's like, where am I? What is going on? So I actually slept in her room with her, and she slept on the bed with me for a little bit just because she felt better if I was there. Otherwise she would just wake up and scream. And it was like this, like a scared scream. So it feels like a lot. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It is a lot.
Yeah.
It is a lot. And you don't know till you know.
Right.
Like in theory, a lot of things can sound good.
Yeah.
But in practice, you know, when you're in the thick of it.
Yeah. I mean, there's total perks. Yeah. Like my parents are here, so they got to see her. You're here. I'll see you a lot. I love the weather here. I'm going over to a friend's tonight who it was her birthday on the 1st. And so I get to be there for the birthday party. And, you know, there's lots of perks to it. It just feels like, I'm not sure if at this season in our life, until we have our own place, if this is going to be something we continue to do, just because of how much work it is, really.
Yeah, totally understandable.
Yeah.
Especially when there's another one in the mix.
I know. Like next year, I can't.
That sounds impossible.
Gosh. Yeah.
I think that just sounds impossible.
Yeah. What's going on with Ben? We can talk about that in the hangover too, right? Like what's...
Yeah, well, we can talk about anything we want.
Yeah.
We make the rules.
Okay, good.
So Ben is doing good. It feels like things are getting easier and easier and easier. Ooh. And for those of you who are maybe listening to this in recent postpartum, I feel like a lot of people would tell me things that didn't feel super helpful or positive. They'd be like, oh, don't worry, you'll get sleep again someday, like, or you'll get used to not sleeping. And I don't know, I just think that I didn't realize how quickly I would get more than 2-hour sleep chunks. Like,
oh,
so yeah. I don't know. There's, because I was thinking, I will literally, if this is how I have to go on for the rest of my life, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Like, I remember one day I just cried because I thought, I can't remember the last time I got more than 3 hours of sleep since the hospital. And I just cried and cried and cried about it. And we do mm-hmm. have the Snoo, which is, Ashley's been gracious enough to let us borrow. We do that with the nested bean. He can use that until he can start rolling. Yeah. Well, even past that, because it's a safe swaddle. Mm-hmm. So he can use it for like 6 months or something. But anyway, it's been absolutely wonderful. And it's just the game slows down.
Yeah.
Like, he's been crying less. We know what his cries mean
because
we know him.
Right.
You know, everything just gets easier. And there's still days. There are still days where I feel that baby blue raciness of I can't walk through a room and not do something. I can't walk mm-hmm. through a room and not straighten a pillow or put that dish away or that. And that feels exhausting. I think part of that is just my personality too. And then it's heightened by all this. There are days where it feels really hard. And I'm not saying that it's easy, but it gets easier. And it's really beautiful time right now. He's been so happy lately.
Oh.
And he laughed for the first time 2 nights ago. And it made me cry because it was like, remember when I was talking like how he was smiling and it was so pure and
yes.
it washed over me?
Yes.
Well, I was just changing his diaper and I heard him laugh. Like, he was just
like an audible
looking
giggle,
at me
his
like
first audible giggle.
Big laugh. And it just was really cool. So Ben's doing great.
Yeah.
Are we allowed? Are you going to be announcing the gender on this?
Oh, yeah.
Or do you want to?
Yeah.
Or do you want to wait? Because you're going to, I don't know. How do you feel?
So we announced it over on Patreon, last Friday's episode on Patreon. And we both talked about it on our Instagram and we're like, swipe up, you go listen to the episode. And then Instagram was like, middle finger, we're not working today. So your swipe ups are not happening. So yeah, that's just kind of the thing. Like, we're going to kind of give all the deets on everything always to Patreon first, because that's usually just our like catch up episode. We do those. I don't know why that happens that way, but it's just how it is. But yeah, you guys will always end up being in the know about what's going on in our life. And so we're having a boy in this time, which is great. And I kind of download the whole thing up, don't I? Over there, like how I feel about it and why it was scary if we were going to have a girl and stuff.
Yes, you did.
Because there was potentially complications. And if it was a girl, there could be birth defects and all kinds of stuff. So I download that whole thing over there. But yeah, we're having a boy, which is
so cool.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. And Ben is so excited to have a friend.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
They're
going to
be so close in age.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if we're just going to have to move to Arizona or how we make it, if we're just going to have to buy a big compound.
I know. It's a compound. I think we need a compound situation. Yes. But they're going to be like 9 months apart, really.
Oh,
exactly. Actually, because we've decided that when you pushed them out, I was getting inseminated. Is that the right word?
I guess I just can't imagine another option than them being best friends. Like, I just
it's happening.
I don't know what we need to do.
Oh my God, that would be so fun.
But
yeah.
Okay. There was a voicemail that I wanted to play because last week our rant and raves, a lot of people connected up with that and I thought it was cool. And I wanted to play a voicemail that we got about it.
Hey guys, it's Carly from Charlotte, North Carolina. I am an avid sipper. You guys get me through my 40 minute commute every Tuesday. I am calling because both of your rants are phenomenal this week. And I just can't get over how you speak to people's souls. I am a mother of 2, 8 months postpartum with my second. And I am also a psychotherapist. So as a therapist, I can say that what you both said about dads getting like a pat on the back and then about us not having any maternity leave, I totally agree with. I think they both contribute to the fact that we suffer with postpartum depression and anxiety. And I also think that it puts us in this role of thinking that we have to do everything because we're almost being told by society that we have to. Like, good job, Dad. Way to help. Well, we don't get that. So it's almost like, well, you're expected to help. So I just wanted to say yes. And fuck all that shit. You guys are the best. Thanks for making my commute so much better. Have a good night.
Dude, I want to go, like, she sounds like the coolest psychotherapist ever.
I don't even know what psychotherapist
I
want
to go to her therapy sessions.
Nice.
sounds super smart. It sounds super smart. And then there was another comment that we got on Instagram that I really liked. If you guys aren't hanging out with us over on Instagram too, You Can Sip With Us is our handle. Someone made their own rant about double standards. Stay-at-home mom spends 7 days a week tending to kids. No big deal. Dad watches said kids for 2 to 3 hours and gets a gold medal and standing ovation. Second double standard. Dad goes to work. How great, you provide for your family. Mom goes to work, but you won't miss the kids? They grow so fast. Like shaming, right? I could go on and on and on. And I think, yeah, like you can't really win, right? Sometimes with society. And I put, seriously, to all this, we need to take the stigmas out of career moms and also stay at home dads.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, there's a lot of like assumed, I guess, shame maybe, or wounded egos for stay at home dads. It does not need to be there.
No.
And anyway, a lot of people wrote some really cool things on these comments too about times where they were going through a hard time in public and somebody helped them out and how much it meant to them, and connected up with what you were saying about helping each other out. So thank you guys for your engagement on that. And I think we just need to keep raising awareness and keep helping each other out and kicking these double standards in the ass.
Yeah. But I feel like, you know, it's good that we are married to men who say F those standards. We say F those standards, and we just need, you know, more people to do that. F whatever standards society puts out. Take your life into your own hands. Parent how you want to parent. Co-parent how you want to parent. And hopefully this tune will change. I mean, things have changed a ton since the 50s, right? But there's still old habits die hard. And our parents' generation and my, you know, our grandparents' generation, they're still alive. And so those thoughts are still there. And but I think it's going to be like in the next 100 years, I think things will be drastically different as far as gender biases and gender roles and stuff that are assumed. I think so. I'm hopeful.
Me too. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that was definitely a hot topic from last week. And let me tell you what also is getting hot. Your kitchens with this summer heat. The last thing I want to be doing these days is turning on my oven. I want to be getting outside. I want to be headed to the beach. I want to go do some picnics. I do not want to be standing over a hot stove, but I still want to eat healthy. I still want to eat fresh. Daily Harvest is our answer.
Yeah, they deliver thoughtfully sourced, chef-crafted food that is built on fruits and veggies and can be prepared in less than 5 minutes. I'm loving their smoothies. I throw them in a blender. They just came out with a new one. What is it? Dragon fruit watermelon. Oh, it's so freaking good, you guys. So refreshing. I throw it and I don't have to heat anything up. And I'm literally in my kitchen for 3 minutes and then it's in my belly and I'm the happiest ever. So, and you know, they stay in your freezer until you're ready to eat it. So they don't go bad. They show up, you know, fresh and frozen, ready for you.
Easy way to get veggies. I've been putting spicy sausage in mine to make it more of a robust meal. Really good. But guys, go get your hookup. Go to dailyharvest.com. Enter promo code SIP and get $25 off your first box. That's promo code SIP for $25 off your first box at dailyharvest.com. That's dailyharvest.com.
Yeah. Great.
All right, Ash, I got something you need to know.
Yeah, about. Tell me. Hit me.
And I thought that I don't remember. So you pumped for a while, right? When you were.
Not really. No.
Not really. Okay. I thought you were pumping.
Because I hated it. I did pump.
Yeah.
But only for once we realized I was going to give up breastfeeding and the pump is what made me feel depressed. That is like where my post, if I had any postpartum, anything was from pumping. So I gave it up.
Yeah, but I don't know. Really,
I think I did
hard.
It for 5 weeks or something.
Yeah. Okay. So I've been breastfeeding Ben most of the time. Obviously, we've been trying to go on date nights. I am trying to pump a little bit more because when I go back to work, I'm going to be traveling and working with people on the road. I'm in sales, so I'm not in an office when I'm on the road. And the idea of pumping has been really overwhelming. So my pumping journey so far, the very first time I looked at the pump and took all the parts out, I just cried because I was so easily overwhelmed by everything. Anyways, you guys, anytime I talk product on this, I always feel like it's an ad, but these are genuinely things we love for those of you who are new here. This is unsponsored. I discovered a product called the Kindi, K-I-I-N-D-E. The Kindi, what they are is it's a setup where, okay, so to orient everyone. Normal pumping, you have your boobs in these flanges things, and then you pump into bottles, flanges, whatever. It's terrible. And you pump into bottles, and then you pour the bottles into bags. And then you usually freeze those bags mm-hmm. or put them in the fridge or whatever. Then you pour those back into bottles, right? So you're dirtying up several bottles yes. along the way if it's not being consumed right away. And milk transfers are not fun. Like, it's a simple step, but they're not fun, especially if you're pumping a lot. So what the Kindi does is you can attach Kindi bags to any major pump. So I have Spectra and it attaches to the Spectra and you pump right into bags. Then you just twist, you just seal them up. They have like little twist caps and they're ready to be frozen. When they're ready to be consumed, those same bags, they have like nipples that go with it. So you just stick the nipple feeder onto the bag itself. And then you feed your baby. The bags are 100% recyclable. And then they can also be used for like baby food or things as the kids grow up.
Whoa.
So it's a major game changer yeah. for me, because the idea of pumping and traveling has been a big source of anxiety for me. And this has relieved a lot of that. So I got the Kindi starter pack. I tested it out. I will link it on Instagram. We have a highlights for products. I will link the starter. You want the starter kit on Amazon. It comes with bags. It comes with the little adapter. It's just like a little piece that connects your pump to the bag.
Okay.
So, and there's different ones for like if you have a Medela or whatever pump. And then it also comes with three different kinds of nipples, like slow feed, fast feed, medium feed.
Wow.
And it's really, really cool. And I just love it. I'm obsessed with it. And then the other hack, I guess, that I'll share around pumping that a friend shared with me, if you're pumping a lot of people will pump and wash the parts each time.
Yeah.
And washing parts is also another source of anxiety. If you're pumping and in one place where you can keep something cool, I'm going to be packing a cooler with me when I'm on the road, like a travel cooler with ice yeah. in it to keep my bags milk warm. But if you use the parts, you can put them in a Ziploc bag. As long as they're kept cold, like you can stick them in the refrigerator or in my ice pack cooler, you should only wash those parts at the end of the day.
Oh.
Pump in the morning or whatever. Put your parts in a Ziploc bag, throw it in the fridge, and then just use those parts. You don't have to clean them every single time, right? As long as it's kept cold.
Yes.
So it's a little hack to keep things a little bit easier. Anyway, wanted to share that. What do I need
And
to
we
know?
Used also the Medela like microwavable sanitizer bags.
Yes.
To clean our parts so that you didn't have to do like soap and water or whatever. You just put all your plastic, and we cleaned after every time because Revy got thrush and she got it twice. And so we just got in the habit of like, because that heating it up or whatever like kills off all the bacteria or yeast buildup. So we loved those too. And that made it easier. You just pop them in the microwave for 3 minutes and then it sanitizes the whole thing so that you're not like soap and water and like cleaning or whatever.
And those are good for traveling.
Yes.
I'm going to be taking those like in hotel rooms yes. so that at the end of the day, I can sanitize all the parts in my hotel room.
Yes.
And you can buy like little the grass dryer things, you know, that you put. There's travel
yeah.
versions of that.
Oh.
Yeah. So as if you guys know of any hacks for traveling and pumping, actually,
oh,
like please email
call.
Us at youcansipwithus@gmail.com. As I get into action in this in September, October, I'll report back on things that I'm finding, because there's a lot of you who are in postpartum or figuring all this mm-hmm. out along with us. But for those of you who have experience in this and might be able to help, drop us a note. Much appreciated. Thanks in advance.
Okay. So what I wanted to talk about, and this is going to be a little bit of a longer what you need to know. I'm going to try to be brief, but it's going to be very difficult, because I've been getting into something this year called the Enneagram. It's Enneagram. And it's basically a like personality assessment, kind of, except for it's very in-depth and it is very spot on, very accurate. And it explains how people are certain ways. There's 9 different types, and I'm going to kind of go through it and do a little Cliff's Notes version. But it's been really amazing for me as a leader to understand the people that I'm working with in my marriage, in my friendships and relationships, to understand how other people work, because we as humans tend to think that everybody thinks like us. And so sometimes when someone does something, you're like, God, you're being a total asshole, or what the hell is wrong with you? When you, after you learn about the Enneagram, you're like, oh, you just see the world differently than I do. So the Enneagram, I've done so much research. I've been really deep diving into it, and it's kind of confusing until you start getting it, but it teaches us that early in life, we somewhere along the line learn to feel safe and cope with our family situations and personal circumstances by developing a strategy based on our natural talents and abilities. And so this is, it's basically you develop your number. So there's 1 through 9. I'll run through them. And as I'm explaining it, call, ask questions because I don't know, you know, to make sure it's making sense.
Yeah. So far, so good.
Okay. So you develop this like a main, your main type as a child. And then, you know, as you get healthier, as you grow, you can take on other different types, but you still always have your core type. And there's also variations within each type. So the, again, there's 9 types and then you'll have your main type. So I am a, my main type is a 3, which is the achiever. And then you have a wing of something on either side of you. So I can be a 3 wing 2 or a 3 wing 4. You cannot be like a multi-type. You cannot be a sometimes I'm this, sometimes I'm that. You have your primary type, and that it's is like
a major and a minor.
Yes. And it doesn't, you know, change. But when you're in history class, you feel, or like I was a poli-sci major, history minor. So I was in, you know, you take your history class, and but that doesn't mean that that's your major. So sometimes I'm in a different class, right? But that I'm still majoring in something else. So there's variations and stuff. And it's based on like when you're under stress, you might move towards a certain number. If you're being successful, you'd move towards another. And so there's different attributes that come out, but it's very comprehensive. It's been fascinating to dig into. And what I want to do now is kind of go through the 9 types briefly and explain what they are and what they're driven by so that you guys can get a sense quickly of maybe which one that you think you are. Enneagrams are based in root fear. So it's your main fear that is going to determine your type. And as you're thinking about it, think about how you were when you were under 25. Some of it might still apply to you today, but decisions that you made when you were under 25. So type number 1 is perfectionist. Perfectionists are realistic, conscientious, and principled. They strive to live up to their high ideals, and their main fear is being evil or corrupt. So this is big for, or being, you know, wrong. This is big for people in law enforcement, military people, you know, where there's no gray. It's black and white, right? Type 2 is the helper. Helpers are warm, concerned, nurturing, and sensitive to other people's needs. Their main fear is the fear of being unloved or unwanted by others. Number 3, type 3 is the achiever. That's what I am. Achievers are energetic, optimistic, self-assured, and goal-oriented. And their main fear is the fear of being unaccomplished and worthless. So as I'm reading these, you guys listen to the fears and see which one resonates with you the most. That's how I was actually, because I have a lot. I really resonate with type 8. We'll get there. But how I figured out which one I am between type 8 and type 3 is the main fear. So take note of that as I'm reading the fears. Okay. 4 is the romantic. Romantics have sensitive feelings and are warm and perceptive. And their main fear is a fear of lacking a unique and significant identity. So they want to be, these are people, a lot of times they're artists. They like tattoos, their colorful hair, you know, just really like expressing themselves. Mm-hmm. Type 5 is observers. Observers have a need for knowledge and they're introverted, curious, and analytical, as well as insightful. Their main fear is the fear of being helpless and inadequate. So they strive to really like know everything, to become as knowledgeable and competent as possible in all of their undertakings. Type 6 is the questioners. Now, I don't really know any question, too many. I mean, I only know one that I can think of, one questioner in my life, but it's something like 80% of the population or 70%, something. The bulk of the population is a type 6.
Wow.
Type 6 questioners are responsible, trustworthy, and value loyalty to family, friends, groups, and causes. Their personalities range broadly from reserved and timid to outspoken and confrontational. Their main fear is the fear of being without support or guidance. So the 6s, their main fear is that they're incapable of surviving on their own. And so they must seek out as much support and direction from others as possible. So 6s are, they really take on a lot of problems of the world. So 6s like to watch the news and they like to think about all the things that could happen. Like, oh, this, you know, this house burned down. What if my house burned down? That person got cancer. What if I got, like, they really want to, and they can, tend to have a little bit more anxiety and be anxious. And that makes a lot of sense to me that the majority of the world is like that, because the majority of the world really does take on the world's problems as they see, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and the six is very dynamic. So there can be a positive, really positive, like healthy six, and there can be a negative, which is kind of the case with all numbers. Okay, seven, which is what we think Colleen is based on a test she took, is the adventurer. Adventurers are energetic, lively, and optimistic, and they want to contribute to the world. Their fear is the fear of deprivation and pain. So they strive to achieve their wildest desires and find fulfillment and have like a very fun life.
This is spot on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Type eight is either the challenger or the asserter. They are direct, self-reliant, self-confident, and protective. Their main fear, so I really resonate with eights. The thing is their main fear is their fear of being harmed or controlled by others. So they really strive to become strong, independent, and self-directed. I don't really resonate with that fear very much, but I am very confrontational. I don't back down. I'm very strong-willed. I appreciate when people stand up to me and I can stand back up to them. I appreciate directness. I really resonate with eights. It's just the fear of the three in being unworthy resonated much stronger for me. So that's how I landed on, I was a three. Lastly, type nine is the peacemaker. They are receptive, good-natured, and supportive. They seek union with others and the world around them, and they fear loss and separation from others. So they strive to maintain peace and harmony both internally and externally in the world around them. So what's so fascinating about this, so what I discovered is John is a type eight with a wing nine. And what that means is his main driver is he likes to be in control of himself in his life, because his main fear is the fear of being harmed or controlled by others. But then he also really, wing nine, really likes there to be peace and harmony and no drama around him. So that's why he's an eight, wing nine. I am a three, wing two, which is my main fear is being unworthy and unaccomplished. Like I really want to be successful. And my other fear is being unloved or unwanted by others. So that's kind of how that works. Call, I think you are a seven with a wing six. And I'll get a little bit into the wings now, so that you guys can understand. I read a book, or actually
read the fear of six again.
The fear of being without support or guidance. But I'm going to read the wings of what that, okay. The other wing that you could be is the fear of being harmed or controlled by others. Does that resonate with you better?
Yeah.
I'm going to read the wings so that you'll understand more. But here's some questions. I'm going to actually go through them a little bit more into each type a little bit more in depth. So ones, they're motivated by the need to live their life the right way, including improving themselves and the world around them. So here's some statements that describe ones. And I'm going to read it as if, you know, first person or whatever. So think about, do these resonate with you? Ones, I like to be organized and orderly. It's difficult for me to be spontaneous. I often feel guilty about not getting enough accomplished. I don't like it when people break rules. Incorrect grammar and spelling bother me a lot. I am almost always on time. I hold on to resentment for a long time. I think of myself as being practical, reasonable, and realistic. And there's several others. Ones, here's your ones and your wings. So ones can either be a one wing two or one wing nine, because it's, you know, whatever is on either side of it. And it goes in a circle. So ones with a more developed two wing tend to be warmer, more helpful, critical, and controlling. Ones with a more developed nine wing tend to be cooler, more relaxed, objective, and detached. I know a couple of ones, and they're both military law enforcement people.
That makes sense.
And it's so funny. Like ones are very, for me, they're very easy to pick out. Okay, two is the helper. My stepmom is a two. Our friend Jenna is a two. Twos are motivated by the need to be loved and valued and to express their positive feelings towards others. So here are some statements that might apply to the two. I want people to feel comfortable coming to me for guidance and advice. Relationships are more important to me than almost anything. Sometimes I feel overburdened by people's dependence on me. I have trouble asking for what I need. I crave, yet sometimes fear intimacy. I am more comfortable giving than receiving. I am very sensitive to criticism. I work hard to overcome all obstacles in a relationship. I don't want my dependence to show. It is very important that others feel comfortable and welcome in my home. So those are a few. There's a ton of other ones. Twos with a stronger one wing tend to be more idealistic, objective, self-critical, and judgmental, but twos with a stronger three wing tend to be more self-assured, ambitious, outgoing, and competitive. Okay, so that's the two. The three is the achiever. Threes are motivated by the need to be productive, achieve success, and avoid failure. Here are some statements that might apply if you're a three. I am almost always busy. I like to make to-do lists, progress charts, and schedules for myself. I don't mind being asked to work overtime. I have an optimistic attitude. I go full force until I get the job done. I believe in doing things as expediently as possible. It is important for people to better themselves and live up to their potential. Sometimes when you figure out what you are, like I just smile. I'm like, yep, yep, yep. Like it's just so dead ringer for me. I am not interested in talking a lot about my personal life, which that doesn't resonate. So like there might be things also within your type that don't resonate. I am a big time feeler. So some of these things, and it's threes are also very motivated by how people perceive them. And I've kind of, as I've gotten older and healthier, I pretty much don't care hardly at all what people think. People that I care about, I care. But so that's the thing too, is like you can get healthier as you know, the Enneagram has helped me also get healthier. So as you know more about yourself, you'll be able to kind of work on that. But threes with a two wing tend to be warmer, more encouraging, sociable, popular, and seductive. Threes with a four wing. So that's what I'm a three wing too. Threes with a four wing tend to be more introspective, sensitive, artistic, imaginative, and pretentious. All right. Four, the romantic. Fours are motivated by the need to experience their feelings and to be understood, to search for the meaning of life, and to avoid being ordinary. Here's some statements that might describe you. Being understood is very important to me. My friends say they enjoy my warmth and my different way of looking at life. I can become non-functional for hours, days, or weeks when I'm depressed. I'm very sensitive to critical remarks and feel hurt at the tiniest slight. It really affects me emotionally when I read upsetting stories in the newspaper. I cry easily. Beauty, love, sorrow, and pain really touch me. Okay, so those are a few. Now, if you're a four wing three, you tend to be more extroverted, upbeat, ambitious, flamboyant, and image conscious. If you're a four with a five wing, you tend to be more introverted, intellectual, idiosyncratic, reserved, and depressed. Is this interesting? Mm-hmm. Or is it making sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Okay, good. I told you this was going to be a long one, guys, but I just find it fascinating. Okay. Five, the observer. Fives are motivated by the need to know and understand everything, to be self-sufficient, and to avoid looking foolish. Here are some statements that might apply to you. I learn from observing or reading as opposed to doing. It's hard to express my feelings in the moment. I get lost in my interests and I like to be alone with them for hours. I usually experience my feelings more deeply when I'm by myself. Sometimes I feel guilty that I'm not generous enough. I try to conceal my sensitivity to criticism and judgment. Conforming is distasteful to me, and on and on. Fives with a four wing tend to be more creative, humanistic, sensitive, empathetic, and self-absorbed. But fives with a six wing tend to be more loyal, anxious, skeptical, and cautious. They're more likely to be interested in the sciences. Okay, six, the questioner. Sixes, remember, are motivated by the need for security. Phobic sixes are outwardly fearful and seek approval. Counterphobic sixes, because remember I said sixes are very dynamic. There's a wide range of sixes, but counterphobic sixes confront their fear. Both of these aspects can appear in the same person. So some statements that apply to you. I am nervous around certain authority figures. I'm often plagued by guilt. I like to have clear-cut guidelines and know where I stand. I'm always on the alert for danger. I take things too seriously. I constantly question myself about what might go wrong. I often experience criticism as an attack. I can be a very hard worker. My friends think of me as a loyal, supportive, and compassionate person, on and on. Okay, if you are a six wing five, you tend to be more introverted, intellectual, cautious, and standoffish. If you're a six wing seven, you tend to be more extroverted, materialistic, active, and impulsive. The adventurer. Okay, tell me how much, if this resonates with you. So seven, they are motivated by the need to be happy and plan enjoyable activities to contribute to the world and to avoid suffering and pain. Some statements that might apply to you. I enjoy life. I'm generally uninhibited and optimistic. I don't like being made to feel obligated or beholden. I am busy and energetic. I seldom get bored if left to do what I want. I often take verbal or physical risks. I usually pick upbeat friends who have similar goals. I'm not an expert in any one thing, but I can do many things well. My style is to go back and forth from one test to another. I like to keep moving. I seem to let go of grievances and recover from loss faster than most people I know. I like myself and I'm good to myself. I like people and they usually like me. I usually manage to get what I want. I value quick wit and on and on. Did those resonate with you?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So here's where I thought that you were maybe a six wing. So sevens with a six wing tend to be more loyal, endearing, responsible, and anxious. Six with an eight wing tend to be more exuberant, aggressive, competitive, and materialistic. Does one of those sound like?
Read those eight. Okay. Read those eights again.
So, okay. Seven with an eight wing is more exuberant, aggressive, competitive, and materialistic.
I mean, I'm pretty freaking competitive.
Yes.
Like really competitive. That resonates with me. I'd like to also think I'm endearing. I'd have to almost just read more into this and tease this out more.
Okay, good.
The seven is nailing it, but I don't know about the wings.
The wings.
I don't know about the wings.
Yeah. Do more research because I'm curious to know about you.
Me too.
All right. Eight, the challenger or the asserter. They're motivated by the need to be self-reliant and strong and to avoid feeling weak or dependent. So some statements that apply to the eight. I can be assertive and aggressive when I need to be. I can't stand being used or manipulated. I value being direct and honest, and I put my cards on the table. I am an individualist and a nonconformist. I respect people who stand up for themselves. I will go to any lengths to protect those I love. I fight for what is right. I support the underdog. You know, actually, some of these do sound like you. So maybe you are a seven wing eight. Making decisions is not difficult for me. Self-reliance and independence are important. So this, I resonate a lot deeply with an eight. Okay. An eight with a seven wing tend to be more extroverted, enterprising, energetic, quick, and egocentric. Eight with a developed nine wing tend to be more mild-mannered, gentle, receptive, and quietly strong. Okay. Lastly, I'm going to wrap this up here, you guys. The peacemaker, number nine, they're motivated by the need to keep the peace, to merge with others, and to avoid conflict. Since they, especially, take on qualities of the other eight types, nines have many variations in their personalities, from gentle and mild-mannered to independent and forceful. Here's some statements that might describe a nine. I often feel in union with nature and people. Making choices can be very difficult. I can see the advantages and disadvantages of every option. It is sometimes hard for me to know what I want when I'm with other people. Others see me as peaceful, but inside I often feel anxious. Instead of tackling what I really need to do, I sometimes do little unimportant things. When there is unpleasantness going on around me, I just try to think about something else for a while. I usually prefer walking away from a disagreement to confronting someone. I prefer to walk away rather than confront. If I don't have some routine and structure in my day, I get almost nothing done. And the things that I picked up about nine is like one of the things that I heard when I was researching is like nines will often say, if you say, hey, where do you want to go to dinner? And they say, oh, I don't care. Where do you want to go? They actually don't care. Whereas like me, someone who's a three or an eight, I have an opinion on things. So if I'm like, oh, I don't care, I actually care. Nines really are harmonious. So they want to do like what the group wants to do and stuff. Okay. Nines with a eight wing tend to be more outgoing, assertive, and anti-authoritarian. And nines with a more developed one wing tend to be more orderly, critical, emotionally controlled, and compliant. Okay. So some places for you guys to do, I know I was like, this is just going to be an overview and it was pretty in depth, but it's just so fascinating. So I listened to the book, The Road Back to You, on Audible. That kind of, you know, it goes through the types in depth. Another book that I read or listened to, again, I don't really read books, I listen, The Path Between Us. So that one is about how it's all relational. So how does a one interact with a five? How do you, you know, if you're in a relationship or you have a friendship or you're managing. So that book was fascinating to me and really helpful for like, this is how I can love John best. This is how I can support this friend best. You know, this is also what I need. So I can let people that love me know what I need and stuff. So anyway, I have just found this to be very helpful. I've become obsessed with it. And instead of now when John does something, instead of thinking like, God, what is wrong with you? I think, oh, that's just how he sees the world. That's just him being John instead of taking offense to things, you know?
You can meet him where he's at and use it as a tool to build a bridge to where you're at.
And give the benefit of the doubt always. Yeah, it's just, anyway.
Fascinating. Okay, so where can people take the test? Is there a place people can go and take the test without reading the books? If you don't.
Yeah, you can just Google free Enneagram test.
You should spell it out.
Tests are really only...
Oh.
I did. E-N-N-E-A-G-R-A-M, Enneagram. But so just Google that. I've taken like three and one I paid and they all came back different because it kind of depends like what mood you're in the time. And, you know, if you're healthy or if you're currently in a stressed out state or if you're thinking more with your working cat, like at work, I'm like this and personal, I'm like this. So it really can vary. So that's why I recommend the book. I mean, take the test to get an idea, but they're only like 70% accurate. All the tests that you can take online. But to get an idea, you can take the test.
Well, and I liked the in the beginning where you laid out the fears too. And because it can be a little tempting where it's like a horoscope where you're like, oh, I connect with all those positive things or I feel things. Yes. And I like, you know, I connected with a lot of the good stuff, but then the fear was really specific. And I did not connect with a lot of the fears, but I did connect with very specific fears, particularly in the seven.
Yes.
Of course, you know, so
yes,
I think that that's fascinating.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's so fascinating. So
good stuff, Ash. All right, you guys, let me tell you about some other good stuff, actually great stuff. Let's talk about some makeup that really does it all. When I travel for work, I do not want to have to be packing every single thing I own to take to the hotel. And the thing I love about Wander Beauty is it gets it right. Everything that I've tried from Wander Beauty, I use again and again and again and again. It's travel friendly. It's beauty made for real life women on the go.
I love it too. I love all their products that I've tried so far from them. And I also love that they're dedicated to clean beauty, which means that they formulate everything with skin loving ingredients that are cruelty free, mess free, stress free. And they really have created your everyday essentials that you actually want to use. Like I find myself, I have, you know, all different kinds of foundation that I try and I always reach for the Wander Beauty one. And I love the lip gloss that, you know, like I just find myself constantly reaching for it. And we want you guys to try it and constantly reach for it yourself. So they're giving you 20% off your purchase at wanderbeauty.com/sip. That is wanderbeauty.com/sip for 20% off. wanderbeauty.com/sip.
All right, it is time for
let's get into some hot topics.
I got a lot of hot topics to cover. You have some too.
Yeah, yours are always like better than mine, but I'm wondering if we might have one overlap.
Okay, what do you think it is?
Brody and Caitlin.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Brody Jenner, Caitlin Jenner, if that was her real name.
Not his wife.
So we've been watching The Hills. Mm-hmm. I still am really liking it.
Yes, me too.
And I mean, you take it for what it is. You know, it's fake, whatever. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
It's easy, brainless entertainment.
What you expect it to be, yeah.
But you can, him and his wife have split, but then it was also revealed that they were never officially married, which I think is interesting.
Which makes it so easy then to divorce.
Reporters or whatever are saying that there were two main issues. One, she wanted a legal marriage, and two, children. And they talk about that on The Hills. Anyway, what are your thoughts?
Wow, John told me this yesterday, and then he was like, did you hear Caitlin and Brody broke up? And I was like, what? And he's like, well, we saw that coming, right? And we've talked about it on here on Patreon somewhere where I was like, he is like a dick. He is not nice to her. Yes. I do not like him. He's not respectful. And then when they did talk about the kids stuff, I was like, okay, I don't know how that's a very major thing to not be aligned on. And she wanted him really bad. And he just was like, I don't see the rush or the need. So that's pretty fundamental. So I guess it's not surprising that they broke up. What is surprising, like, I don't know, it's all acting or whatever, but like, did they do the show for, why did they do the show then? If they're, you know, it feels like they did the show for money and sounds like they've been on the outs for a long time. Like the season's not even over yet and they're getting divorced. I don't know.
I went on her Instagram and she had just, because they just basically had their 1 year anniversary of their not legal wedding. And she posted pictures very recently that was like my number one or whatever, like happy anniversary to the love of my life.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if something happened.
Like he cheated on her or something?
That's what I'm wondering. Mm. Or if they had, there was some sort of major event. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could definitely see the tension on The Hills, which I do, but because, and it almost seemed like he did a bait and switch too, because she's like, we talked about this, that, you know, this was something when I turned whatever age. And, Yeah, I don't know on the Enneagram where asshole is, but he falls there. Like,
yeah.
I just – that guy just – Brody loves Brody.
Yeah, Brody loves Brody.
And I just don't think he really cares or loves anybody else.
No, he seemed super selfish and just really disrespectful to her and just felt like he was really in the right, which would be an impossible person to be married to. Like, he was not willing to compromise at all, and he was just kind of rude to her and thought she was like – It's weird because I went on his Instagram too, and he's like, oh, you know, she's my better half. And like, and I think he has even said that on The Hills too, like really nice things about her. But I'm like, but your actions don't line up with that because you're kind of an ass. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So I'm not totally surprised. But so do you think that that hoses her though? Like, he didn't want a legit marriage because he's got to have more money than she does, right?
I don't know. Maybe he just has fears of, I don't know what his deal is.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think she's hosed. I think she's better off. I think she's going to, if anything, this raises her stock in a weird way because people are going to be more intrigued. Mm-hmm. And she's on the show. And she has like modeling and fashion stuff, I think, that she does. So, and I also think more importantly than anything, she's going to find or have a life. She doesn't need a guy to be happy. But I think she's being alone would be way better than being with him.
With him.
He's just such a total drain. And just
disgusting. I feel like I liked him on the original Hills better.
Yeah.
I do not like him on this Hills at all.
No, me neither.
Ugh, he's
my
very
favorites
not likable.
Are still Heidi and Spencer. Mm-hmm. I actually want to kick
Spidey.
It with them, which
I know.
I remember really passionately not liking them for a long time. And now I'm like, I really like both of them. And Heidi seems super fun and funny.
Yeah.
And I love them. Spencer seems like a trip.
Yeah, I like Spencer better than Heidi. Heidi seems like she might be a little snoozy to me, but like okay, you're a little bit boring. But maybe she's got a wild streak. You said she seems fun to you?
At the Crystal party, when she was in like the tie-dye shirt and just having a blast. Yeah. I mean, she just seems very high energy in a way that I think would be really fun.
So, yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Well, maybe one day.
Did you hear that Taylor Swift last night hosted a secret sessions group for her fans? They heard the whole Lover album.
No.
Yes. So
she does that every time, but I didn't, you know. Oh, yeah, because we're in August now. So it's like full ramp up to release date.
The countdown is on.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I didn't hear. So was any feedback? Have we heard any feedback? I mean, of course, they're going to say, oh, my God, it's phenomenal. Right. Yeah. Is anyone going to be like, yeah, I heard it wasn't happy with it.
So I guess there were questions of her even doing this again because for reputation, she held these secret session groups, but a lot of stuff got out. And she was basically saying last night, let's keep this between us. Like, because last time a lot of things were misrepresented in a matter of words. And so people recapped that conversation, but then gave her the respect of not totally spilling everything else. But some details that I did see on Twitter from people who attended, and she posted this on Instagram, Rice Krispie treats with different colors and hearts.
Yes.
She made those for her fans who were at the secret sessions group. People said she looked like a walking angel. Like, her fans just seem adorable. And people said on the album there are major bops and major, major deep songs. Like, Archer was not anywhere close to being the deepest song on there. So I just got goosebumps talking about that. So I can't wait for August 23rd. That is also the day I move into our new house. So it's going to be a big
– oh, my gosh.
I don't know if I'll be able to survive that day.
You know what? This is the anthem of your new chapter.
Oh, my God. That's so meaningful. Well, I was just thinking, lucky me, I can just listen to it on repeat as I'm unpacking and driving back and forth and doing all those things.
Yeah. And lucky Chris, too, because, you know how much our husbands love Taylor Swift when she drops a new album, and that's all they hear for the next, I don't know, 90 days straight.
Do you think it's one of those things where they say they hate it, but they actually like it, or no?
Yeah, because sometimes I catch John humming Taylor Swift. I'm like, oh, who's the T-Sweezy fan now?
So I remember, and I know we can move into this, The Bachelorette, because I know when you hate something, you go hard on it, and I know you hated it. But that reminds me of Chris. So like I've watched The Bachelorette since I was in high school, right? And there were times where, and he's like, I hate that show. But then I'd catch him like folding laundry in the living room when it was on and then kind of engaging. And his podcast dudes that he likes, they do a whole episode on The Bachelor, Bachelorette.
Yeah.
And now we do bets. So every other person who comes out of the car, like, he gets every other person, I get every other person. and then we see who the winner was. And so mm-hmm. this year I had Jed on my column and he had Tyler in his column.
Oh.
And so now there's a big debate on who actually won because she picked, you know, my asshole.
She picked Jed. Yeah.
But then there was a news report on TMZ that Tyler just spent the night at Hannah's house. So they didn't mm-hmm. just go for that drink.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like they're actually a thing, which I did mm-hmm. not actually think that that would happen. I thought
oh, you didn't?
Too much mm-hmm. time. No, you know, I don't know. So
well,
much.
And he wasn't her pick, which I feel like that's yeah. just kind of an ego bruise. So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I really, because you kind of joined, you didn't watch the whole season, right?
I didn't watch any of it. I just tried. I suffered through the final night because it was a 2-night finale. And I was like, I cannot watch Monday night. I cannot watch this. I texted Colleen. I'm like, do I have to do this? And she's like, well,
yes,
I think it's in your best interest. But I couldn't watch Monday nights. It was like just nightmare train wreck city. So I only watched the finale. And then after the final.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what were your thoughts on the finale?
Well, I mean, I guess it's a little bit hard because I guess you get invested and you – so I had seen – apparently Jed – people didn't like Jed for a long time because I've seen memes yeah. about Jed, but I didn't know who he was. And so usually that person doesn't get picked in the final.
Yeah.
I feel like normally if there's someone that the public doesn't like, the bachelor or bachelorette usually figures it out and doesn't – they don't end up winning. But he won and I was like watching it. I was like, how did this guy win? Because maybe he had an endearing side that she liked. But I was like, this guy is major. Like, he definitely mm-hmm. was captain of the douche squad. I could mm-hmm. not believe. I was like, what? What is he even saying? He's talking in circles. He's trying to be a smooth talker, but he just sounds like an idiot talker is what he sounds like. So I didn't understand at all what I don't think he's good looking, even in the slightest. So I don't understand mm-hmm. how she was attracted to him. And maybe one, it could just be that she's 23, which I feel like is way too young, absolutely irresponsible, probably gives ABC or whatever, NBC, better TV, but nobody knows who the hell they are at 23. So you should never, I mean, 25 should be the minimum. And even then, that's a little on the young side, I feel like, to be on national TV trying to pick the person you're going to marry. Like, what? Let's do a 40-year-old bachelor, although that's probably not very good TV, but like, I don't know that so maybe that's why she did fall for his lines, but he seemed like a schmoozeball. Tyler seemed like,
yeah,
great. He seemed like a great yeah. dude, but he also seemed like too good for her, too mature for her. And was just like, I went to his Instagram and he made a very nice post to her and he was just very mature. I don't know. How old is that guy? I don't know.
I don't know.
But
I don't know. I can Google it.
I don't know. I don't understand how that's a show that is still on TV. I felt like it was the dumbest. And it made me really question. I know I committed to watching Bachelor in Paradise. I'm going to try. I don't know if I can do it because the whole time I was just like, I hate this. I hate this. This is stupid. I don't understand why this is on TV. I hate this. And The Bachelor in Paradise is better for me than The Bachelor and Bachelorette. But I don't know if I'll enjoy it that much without knowing any of the people on it. Because I don't watch any of the shows anymore. I don't know.
The Bachelor in Paradise is such a shit show yeah. is the thing.
Yeah.
And it's way more just like your straight up reality TV yeah. where Bachelorette and Bachelor are trying to be – they're like producing this big love story that's not believable.
No.
But I mean I think about all the shows like we just talked about, The Hills, The Kardashians, even Vanderpump. Uh-huh. Like a lot of that is fake.
Yeah.
But I still enjoy it.
Yes.
So you take it for what it is. I think I can't believe people actually buy in to the dramatic pauses and the things you were talking about on Insta stories where they're like really swept up in that.
Yeah.
For me, it's just like mindless, enjoyable television.
But for me, I think what makes it so hard is it's really uncomfortable to watch because I don't like the smooching. I don't like the like, and they really, like, there's no, you know, sound. It's just them making out. And it's very intense yeah. on TV. And it just feels yeah. very private. Like, we shouldn't be watching that. I like it better usually when there's The Bachelorette wow. because the guys are funnier than the girls. But I just get so uncomfortable. Like, this should not be on broadcast. Like, I don't want to be a part. Whereas the drama on Vanderpump or The Hills or whatever, it's just like drama in their lives.
Not as like sexual.
Yeah.
Okay. So the thing I have a similar reaction to, which is very weird, is hearing people eat and drink.
Oh,
you
know right.
that about mm-hmm. me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. and I was just imagining if I had to watch a show of people just eating and drinking.
I
couldn't do that. Uh-huh. So I'm trying to empathize with this genuine feeling that you have.
God.
Tyler is 26 years old.
Okay.
And the thing that I was wondering, so the Jed news that he cheated or like had a girlfriend before coming on the show and then the partying stuff, that People magazine article came out mid-season. So I feel like that it was edited heavily to take that into account so that you're watching it and you're like, no, she can't pop. This guy was a douche and everyone, it was kind of public info. And so they're just setting up, you're like watching a train wreck. Basically, is what the season felt like. And then it actually wrecked.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it's kind of a weird season. But I think Tyler, even though he spent the night at her house, I still think he could be a contender for The Bachelor, which would be interesting. And I think his stock at this point has gone way up. I think he's probably the most popular person to come from the show. The whole season,
what
I was like,
Peter? I feel like everyone's talking about Peter and everyone loves Peter.
Peter, the pilot. He was a third. He was third place or whatever. He seems like a really happy, positive, optimistic guy. I like Tyler better. So I'm
You do? Okay.
Tyler. Yeah.
So do you hope they get together or not?
I hope not. I think he's
because you want him to be The Bachelor. Yeah. He seems
And
good
I didn't dislike Hannah to be – I did not like her on The Bachelor. I liked her way better than I thought I would as The Bachelorette. I had very low expectations for her, and she did win me over. But I like Tyler a lot, and I think he's better off just kind of washing this whole thing away and starting new.
Yeah.
And maybe that's as The Bachelor. And I would totally watch that season with him because I just think he's great. Did you hear last hot topic? And then we'll save the rest. We can talk the stuff on for Patreon. Friday's Patreon episode. Did you hear about Katy Perry's issues in court?
No.
Okay. Your face as soon as I brought Katy her Perry. Name up.
I mean.
So do you know her song Dark Horse?
Yeah.
It was kind of her last hit.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since she's had a popular song.
Yeah, but since anyone's given a shit about her, I agree.
There was a Christian singer, songwriter, artist who said, hey, you ripped me off. This was my song.
One of those.
Mm-hmm. You guys straight up stole the beats. And you hear about those, but you never really hear how they pan out, right? Well, this one, they usually settle, I feel like. This one went to court and she and her team were found guilty. So she had to pay this guy $550,000 and then her people, her like whatever you call it, her record label and Dr. Luke, who seems like a bad dude. So this Dr. Luke is the same guy that was in court with Kesha. She accused him of really terrible like sexual.
That's the one that she wrote the song about, right?
Yeah. So this is same. Dr. Luke seems like bad news.
Uh-huh.
So the label had to pay a lot more. I think it was like upwards of a couple mil because he said, not only did you take my song, but then you associated it with these things that are anti-Christian and it ruined my brand. I mean, he took it all the way for like potential impacts on his career. I mean, I think I actually at this point, and I feel like you're not going to agree with me here, I actually feel bad for Katy Perry over the last, like it just seems like she can't really win. Like she's taken just hit after hit after hit, mediocre songs.
What else went
coming
wrong?
Out. I don't know. It just feels like she's just plummeting. I just feel like.
Okay, but most of it is her fault. Most of it is put out better quality art and then you won't plummet. Right? Like this is a bad thing out of her control. Yeah. But what else is bad for her? Nobody likes her shit. Well, do better. Level up your shit. I don't know. I don't have any sympathy for that. Get better.
I knew you'd disagree. I could see that response coming from a mile away. And I don't really have a defense for it other than I just kind of feel bad for her. I don't know. That's just how I feel. But anyways, she said
I think it sucks when these things happen. I don't think the artists probably know because
no.
Like for Taylor, it happened to Taylor on one song and she writes all of the stuff. Like she writes her music and also thinks about the beats and stuff that go with it. But I think most artists don't. So I think someone brings her this song and is like, hey, want to make this song? And they bring them the idea. They bring them the music. And then they might personalize it, put their own spin on it. But I'm guessing Katy had never heard this Christian guy's version of Dark Horse. But her team did. So it makes sense why they got the fine. But I mean, in that case, that sucks for her, and it sucks for any artist that this happens to. I still don't feel bad for Katie.
That's exactly what she said happened, is that Dr. Luke brought her the song or the beats. She heard it and then wrote the song with probably a team of people in like 45 minutes. But on YouTube, you can just Google like Katy Perry, Dark Horse, whatever, Christian Ripoff, whatever, and you can hear both of them. I listened to it and I'm like, oh yeah, this is definitely
it's
not
the same thing.
Same
an original.
Thing. Yeah. But I would bet a lot that she had never heard that before.
Right. Yeah.
So I just think this Dr. Luke guy's a liar, and I think he's a bad guy. And I think we should ask Perez about him when we have him on the show.
Good call.
So.
Yeah. Did we tell them that Perez is coming, or was that on Patreon?
Well, I don't know if we did. So we have two guests coming up this month. Perez Hilton, we have him booked. Send in any questions quickly. Yeah. Like ASAP, because you're hearing this
next
on a
week
Tuesday.
Or something. Yeah.
We're interviewing him on Thursday. But any questions about celebrity stuff, whatever, he's fair game. His publicist said, like, ask him anything. And he's our inside scoop for the celeb world. So email us about that. And then also Wells Adams, speaking of all the Bachelor in Paradise stuff coming up, he just got engaged to Sarah Hyland. He's going to be a guest on our show in a few weeks. So send us what you want to know about the Bachelor franchise. Nothing is off limits with him. He'll give us the scoop.
Yeah. All right, so The Bachelor is going to be in your home. Well, The Bachelor in Paradise and Mr. Wells himself. But guess what else can be in your home? The Citizenry. It's a new company Colleen and I just found out about. They travel around the globe. They're a socially conscious home decor brand. And they travel around the globe partnering with master artisans to create designs with soul, story, and purpose, which I love. Any company that goes out into the world and is supporting like smaller, more local artists, give me it, you know?
Yeah. When we're moving into the new house, I want to take decorating really slow. And we got the lumbar pillow from them. It is absolutely stunning. It is going to make a room. It's going to be in our master bedroom and it's going to pop the whole room. With this one pillow, you can instantly step up the game on your couch or bed.
Okay, that sounds really lame. Like when you say that, you're like, oh, a pillow, a lumbar pillow? Because normally they're just ugly, like it's tiny little things. These are like beautiful. The one that I got is a beautiful like tribal design, and we kind of have a tribal theme in our master. Yeah. So it's this long, gorgeous pillow.
Did you get the bright one?
No, I got gray.
Oh, I got the same one.
You did? Oh my gosh. Yeah. I had no idea. No.
I love it.
Yeah.
Anyway, they donate 10% of their proceeds directly back to the artisan communities around the globe to help entrepreneurs take their businesses to new heights.
And we're obviously a fan of supporting all entrepreneurs, and I just love companies that give back, and I'm just such a fan of something that helps my back because I have a bad back, but also looks good doing it, which sounds like a cheesy line, but I mean it.
All right, guys, go get yours. We got a $25 gift voucher toward your first purchase of $100 or more. Go to citizenrypodcast.com, CITIZENRY podcast.com, and enter SIP. That is citizenrypodcast.com. Enter SIP for $25 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
There we go, folks. All right, call.
All right, let's wrap
it
up.
You want to rant to me?
Yeah, I got a quick rant. So I love Trader Joe's. We've, you know, obviously gone through things you need to buy at Trader Joe's. What I don't like is the Trader Joe's shopping experience. I was in there the other day with my little cart. To be fair, it was not an ideal time to be going. It was like a Sunday afternoon. But my God, there were people everywhere. I felt panicked in the produce section trying to get two avocados.
No.
People were reaching over me. Everything's every which way. Going down the aisles, I'm constantly, you know, everyone's looking at the nuts and the dried fruits. Going down the freezer aisle, they got all the candies up high and all the frozen stuff down low, and I can't look at everything fast enough. I'm going too slow, and I just feel like rushed every time I'm in there. I need to find the least optimal time to go, maybe at like, I don't know how early they open on whatever day, but it just, I remember one time I was in New York and it was so crowded that there was a line where each aisle, like there, you just basically walked in a single file line until you got to checkout. And I'll tell you what, I liked that better because it was orderly.
Like a cattle prod.
I got
cattle
my
herd.
Time.
Yeah.
Yes, in each aisle. And it wasn't a scramble. And so I love you, Trader Joe's, but I wish it was more like bigger, like a normal grocery store or like not Costco big, mm-hmm. but like just mm-hmm. a little bit bigger, a little more space because they've got so much good stuff and then it's just packed.
Yeah.
Yes.
I try to avoid now that, you know, I work from home, I try to avoid everything during the main high traffic time. So I go during the day, during the week. I don't like to go on weekends really anywhere because that's when everyone's getting their stuff. So a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
I mean, Trader Joe's, you're right, is always busy, but Sunday afternoon is probably like prime time shopping.
Worst,
you know, yeah.
Time.
Mine also has to do with a store. So we went to Target yesterday and everyone loves Target, right? We love Target. How disgusting are their bathrooms? Bad. Do you ever pee in there?
They're bad.
They are
yes,
like,
I have.
They are it's like bad. Gas station restrooms. Target.
Yep.
I mean, I don't understand how they can keep their stores so nice and their bathrooms so disgusting. Everything is always like mm-hmm. broken and dirty and just dingy. And I don't understand. Like going into their restroom, it does not match the level of experience that you get outside of Target. I feel like I need to take a shower after I leave every, like I hate going into Target restrooms. I hate it.
Ugh.
It's the worst. Yeah, Target needs, too. I mean, they've leveled up in a lot of ways, but they forgot to level up their restroom and they need to get their shit together, you know, no pun intended, but pun intended.
Hey Target, are you listening? Yeah. Is this on?
Of course they are.
Is this thing on? Trader Joe's? Yeah.
Target.
I expect this better by next week.
Yes,
guys.
Me too.
All right. I'm going to rave to you.
Okay.
So far in the postpartum journey, like I was, you know, working out throughout my pregnancy as much as I could. Obviously, things get a little dicier the bigger you get in the third trimester. Mm-hmm. I'm still walking. But before I found out I was pregnant, I was training for a half marathon.
Yeah.
And I am a very slow runner. For me, running is not about going fast. It is not about distance that I go. It is about just being out there and connecting to the outdoors and listening to really good music and like having that music loud.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally feel like good enough to where it doesn't hurt my breasts.
Yeah.
And like my body feels a little stronger. So I've been on 3 runs in the last week and a half and it has felt so good. I actually cried the first Aww. Run that I did. I know that sounds silly, but I was like, oh my God, like I'm back.
Getting
like
back
I'm
to getting me. Yeah.
Back to me. And it felt really good. And I remember in the third trimester seeing people out running and thinking like, I just felt very jealous of them and I felt envious and I felt pissed that I wasn't like my feet were hurting and just things were hurting. And you do, it's amazing, like time, just time. I don't know. Like I'm also miss being pregnant and I'm also very happy now that I can run again. Yeah. It's just these crazy, just to go through so much change on kind of every side of it. And you're going through it now. Yeah. Like it's just trippy and weird and amazing. And it felt really good to just move quickly. Like it's been a while since covered ground in a way that was this fast, you know,
things that make you feel like, oh, okay. Cause in that, especially in those first months, those new, where you start thinking like, will I ever feel like myself again?
Yes.
Like, will there ever be another normal? And those little hints of like, oh, I'm still here. Like I can still do this. We can survive. Like it's, those are everything. Yeah.
Those little things are big things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Rachel.
I guess I had a hard time coming up with raves this week because I already kind of talked about this, but I loved being able to, you know, this has been a hard transition moving to Oregon, but it still is such a blessing to be able to like work from anywhere and move and whatever. But it was so cool to be able to fly with Roka in cabin because I get so, I wouldn't have flown if she had to go under the plane, but I didn't want her and John to have to drive. And it was just so special. And she did so great. Like she just laid by our feet and she was chill. And she's such a part of our family that it was cool for her to be able to be on this adventure with us. And so, and she's just resilient, like coming and being with her. I love having her here. John's gone right now. Actually, he must be out with Roka. And I love like we're in cooler temps now. And so we can do stuff outside with her. And I don't know, she's just such a part of our family. And so it felt really good to be able to have her fly with us in cabin. So
yeah. Cool. All right, you guys, that's a wrap. Woo, we love you. Thank you for sipping with us.
Rate, subscribe,
you
review.
You can sip with us.
Yeah, all the things.
Always.
Great.
Do those things.
Okay. All right. We nailed it. See you.
All right. See you
next Tuesday.
Bye.
Want more? You can sip with us.
How about another round of your favorite podcast? Sign me up. Same.
Join us for another round over on Patreon. That's where we give you the down and dirty. We get raw and real. We raw dog it over there.
Oh, yeah. Every Friday, at least, we drop Friday episodes over on Patreon and additional content. It's all ad-free. You can sign up. Go to Patreon, Patreon.com/ You Can Sip With Us, or download the Patreon app and search You Can Sip With Us. Become a patron. $5, guys.
It's $5 a month. I mean, just give up your latte one day. One day out of 30 days, boom, paid for.
Yeah. Yeah. Totes, kabotes. Do it. We'll see you over there.
Okay, see you.
Every Friday,
love
guys.
Love you.
Bye.
You're our crew. Bye.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.